scripture to go along with my lesson, more than just get up here and talk and read notes. So if you want to start out, we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1. Proverbs 19, 1. So hopefully you got your thumbs ready. We'll turn to several chapters, different verses. The title of my message tonight is, Does Character Count? Does character count? Proverbs 19:1 says, Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. When we speak of someone's character, we're speaking about what he is in his heart, what he is on the inside. Brother Robbie was talking about the other day, kind of what your heart is. You know, you don't ask Jesus into your heart, literally, but into the inside of you, who you are. Then when we speak of someone's reputation, that's more speaking of what others think about you or someone. So I'm trying to get a couple of these word plays here. Again, so character is what who you are inside. Your reputation is who people recognize you are. Some people, I've heard this analogy of your character is you as a tree. Your reputation is the shadow that you cast. So that's what you see is the shadow you cast, so who you're pointing to and so forth. So if we guard our character, who we are inside, we can trust God to guard our testimony, our reputation, so to speak. So we need not be so focused upon what our reputation is, what kind of shadow we cast. As long as we're in tune with God, God will take care of the shadow. Character, the definition of character, is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual, or honesty. That's what a character is. The word integrity, as it's uses here in Proverbs 19:1, is kind of the same thing. So most of the lessons tonight I'm going to be talking about more of integrity, but they're really kind of the same thing. Integrity definition is to be complete, together in honesty. Nothing to hide or fear. In other words, transparent. Some people use the phrase, what you see is what you get. Now, I've heard it over the years, and I've kind of used that in different things, but the more I've studied this, I was like, you know, sometimes I put on more of an air around certain people than others. And really, we should be the same no matter where we go. So that's kind of what I'm looking at tonight. So basically, integrity is unto God. Reputation is more to others. So we need to make sure we have a life of integrity. And I know most of you have seen this and know this, but America has become a nation of liars. A person's word does not mean what it used to be. I can remember, and I'm not that old, but I can remember a good friend of mine, my dad was hired to build a house for him. And I remember we stopped at the bank, and he was going to get the loan to build a house. He walked in and talked to the people, and they knew him. It's a local, small community. He got the loan for several thousand dollars off his handshake and said, I will pay you back X amount of money, this amount of time. No papers were ever signed, but his handshake was as good as a contract. His word was as good as a contract. And they knew it. And he had borrowed multiple times like that and had always paid it back. When you go get a loan now, what do you have to do? It is a nightmare. Contract after contract, signature after signature, just to borrow $500 sometimes. So there's things that's changed. And the reason being is because people are liars. People cheat. They say they're going to pay you back. They don't. They say, you know, whatever. Anyway. America has also become a nation of no morals. America is today what used to be immoral, today is now moral. 10 to 20 years ago, things that we could not imagine would go on is going on today. The immorality, the sin, some things today are legal that should not be legal. They're not morally right. They're not scripturally right. Think of abortion. where abortion is. All that is simply murder. But yet it's legal. But not by Scripture. A man of integrity, and I'll keep using this phrase, a man of integrity, but what I mean is mankind. We should have an integrity within us to not accept some of this stuff that goes on. But most of the time we do. And it's a shame. But that's the way it is anymore. And Lord willing, we as Christians should stand up and be who we should be. As children of God, we are called to live on a higher standard than what the world calls moral or legal. If we seek to follow God's commandments, and like Pastor said today, there's more than just the Ten Commandments. There's commandments all through the Bible. But if we seek to follow all these commandments, we will live for that higher standard. We will have that higher standard in our lives. People will see that in us. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. You know, like I said, we'll go to several verses here tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Jesus says here, we are the salt, not just a salt. We are the salt of the earth. The chemical make of salt is not destroyed when you mix it with other ingredients. We like salt in our food a lot of times. Helps it taste better, right? The chemical makeup of it doesn't really change, but it weakens as it's mixed with other ingredients. You can take a handful of salt, or I've seen my dad do it, put a bunch of salt in his hand and sit there and lick it off his hand. I couldn't do it. But you can take salt like that and then mix it with a little bit of mashed potatoes or green, whatever. There's a difference in the taste. It's weakened. It changes. Take the Christian. A man of integrity, if he takes and gets mixed up with the wrong crowd or the wrong people, that weakens his testimony. That weakens who he is. That weakens your integrity. So we have to watch who we're hanging out with, when we're hanging out with certain people, certain things. So we've got to watch those ingredients. Be careful, again, who we hang out with. We must be a people of integrity. Christians should be the most respected people in the community. What are people looking at now when they see a Christian? It's just another person. Because a lot of times, when we talk about, okay, we associate ourselves with Christ and we say we're Christ-like, but then we turn around in our lives and do everything that the world's doing, what does the lost see in us? They don't see us as someone different. They see us the same as them, so why would they want to have anything to do with Christianity, going to church all the time when they can be out on the boat, when they can be out fishing or hunting, whatever? So they need to see something different in us. They need to see that higher standard in our lives than what they see today. We need to be a people in our community that when they see us, they say, I know who that is. I know what kind of character that guy has or that woman has. I know whenever they say something, they mean it. Whenever they're going to do something, they mean it. We need to have that reputation wherever we go. And oftentimes, and I'm guilty of it, I should be more of, again, a person with integrity. But there's times that I've done stuff at work and different places I've gone, and I think, well, this is what's going on. I tell them, okay, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow with my work. And something comes up, boom, boom, boom. Before I know it, the day's gone, and I never did get to it. So to me, in my mind, that was not a person of integrity. Granted, I understand. Things happen in the job. Things happen to change things, especially, I know a lot of you are the same way. In the maintenance field, things break down and things go haywire that you have to go handle. You have to put out the fire sometimes. But to me, I was like, I told that person I would do this, and I didn't do it. And I need to be more conscious of that and talk to that person that I said I was going to do something with or about. If I can't do it, then I need to get back with them. Because sometimes I don't, And then I'll think about it later on. I'll say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll do it tomorrow. And it never happens. That's not a good testimony. That's not a good person of integrity. We need to make sure that we do what we're saying we're going to do. Sorry. Got off track there. So, how do we gain this integrity? How do we get it? First off, to get integrity comes from knowing God. Job chapter 2, verse 3. That's where we want to go to next. Job chapter 2, verse 3. Integrity comes from knowing God. Integrity is the same. Remember, it's honesty. It's transparency. It's complete. So Job chapter 2, verse 3 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." When God spoke of Job here, he used the personal possessive pronoun, my. He said, my servant Job. That tells us he knew Job. Job knew him. He said, my servant. Integrity comes from knowing God, not just knowing about him, but knowing him personally. It's like this. I know of the President of the United States, but I don't know him personally. Thank the Lord. But anyway, I know him. But I know my wife. There is a difference. She's my wife. I know her. And thing is, can we say Jesus is my Savior? He's mine. We need to be able to say that proudly wherever we go. He's my Savior. And talk to people and get them to know who he is as well. If I want to talk to somebody and I get excited about something, and I do this sometimes on different things, even just worldly things, I get excited about something, I want somebody to know about it, I am all into it. I'm enthusiastic about it. I get all the details out. This is so great. Oftentimes I don't do that when witnessing for Christ. We need to make sure that we have that enthusiasm about us. We want to make sure that we have enough integrity about us to know I love God. He's my God. He's my Savior. Let's spread the gospel. Let's get other people to know him like we know him. But first, we got to make sure we know him. Get in the Word. Study the Word. So integrity comes from knowing God, not just about him, but personally. Job 2:3 here, in the end of this verse, it says, "And still he holdeth fast his integrity." Job was a man of integrity. He was honest. I know most of you have heard this statement, and I've used it many times and haven't really thought much about it. Honesty is the best policy. Have you heard that? Honesty is not the best policy. Honesty is the only policy of a person with integrity. There should be no ifs, ands, buts about it. When you say something, your yea needs to be yea, your nay needs to be nay. Simple as that. If you have to hum-haul around to explain what you're trying to do or what you're trying to say, you need to look at it. Is this honest? Is this true? Is this transparent? Is this what I need to be saying? Make sure you're saying what should be said. Honesty. For a man of integrity, honesty, again, is the only policy. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Proverbs 11, verse 3. Again, integrity is honesty. Integrity is transparency. Chapter 11, verse 3, Proverbs says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." The integrity or the honesty of the upright shall guide them. Job kept his integrity through his trials. Everything that he went through, he still kept his integrity. Job 27, 1 through 5. Job 27. If I went through the things that Job went through, I don't know that I would have survived. People aren't what they used to be. Lou's dad used to say that it's kind of a phrase that I was younger than you are at your age, kind of thing. Because people have changed over the years. Their integrity's changed. We've gotten weak in a lot of ways, not just spiritually, but even in our lives. I know that when I worked with my dad, laying block and brick, we poured concrete, we'd done all kinds of things, built houses. And me and my two brothers, my dad could work circles around us all the way up to where he's 60, 65 years old. Because he was raised to work hard. The generations has gone on. People don't want to work today. They've gotten lazy, gotten weak. And the same thing has happened to us spiritually. Chapter 27 of Job, verse 1 says, "Moreover, Job continued in his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me." Job said here, as long as I live, I will not remove my integrity. Being a person of integrity is a choice. We have to choose each day to have integrity. Job chose that. He says, as long as I live, I will be honest. As long as I live, you're going to know where I stand. He's going to be a man of integrity. He's going to be honest. He's going to be true. He's going to be faithful. Genesis chapter 6. I'm glad the pastor was allowed me to do this tonight, because whenever, like I said, it's been a while since I've done this, and it's helped me just to be able to sit and study this, because I see a lot of faults in my life as well that I have been lacked on, and it's helped me. Genesis 6, verse 5. "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Same as today. It's awful. "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And verse 9 goes down here. It says, "Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Noah chose to walk with God. He was a man of integrity. He knew God personally. He was a just man and a perfect man in his generation. And as I was studying this, I just got to thinking, and I know most of us know this story very well, but there's times when you study a lesson or you're sitting there reading it and things pop in your head, and it didn't dawn on me as much as it should have. But when God asked Noah to build this ark, and I know you know it, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Of all the earth, was the only ones that had integrity. The only ones that was just. And think about us today. There's no difference. When I read verse 5 here, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." It's the same thing today. "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Same thing today. And could God look down on us and pick out 8 people that has honesty, that has integrity? They can look down and say, "That's my people. That's mine." Can you look down and see that today? Sometimes I look at my life and think, no. It's sad to say, but that's the way it is. But being a person of integrity is a choice. We need to choose to be that kind of person that Noah was, the kind of person that Job was. But we can sit here and go all through the Bible tonight and look at different people that walked with God, that had integrity. David. David was a man after God's own heart. He messed up, but he still had that life when he repented that he made things right and he became a man of integrity again. John, Paul, Barnabas, Mary, I mean, all these, Lois, Eunice, Timothy, all these people, the thing Pastor was talking about the last few weeks, all these people that walked with God, that studied God and loved God. It's just amazing. So integrity comes from knowing God, number one. Number two, integrity also comes from fearing God. It comes from fearing God. Job chapter 2, verse 3, again. Job chapter 2, verse 3. We'll kind of keep going back to this verse, because most of the text and the study came from this one. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered," again, "my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." He was one that feared God. And again, there was none like him in the earth, just like Noah. Sadly, the verse says that no one else feared God. No one was perfect and upright but Job. Could God, again, look down and say that about each one of us? Could he look down and say, "This servant Raji, this servant Derek, this servant whoever is a person of integrity"? It's sad to say, again, it's hard to find. I know a few that, and I'm not going to name names, but here in this church too, that I look at as a person of integrity. And I thank God for each one of you. And then I looked, as I was studying this, at the people that I work with. And there isn't but about 2 to 3 that I can honestly say is a person of integrity. A person that I can look to and say, yes, they're honest. Yes. If I need help or if I need guidance, that's the person I can go to. And then I got to thinking, am I one of those people that someone else can look to and say, that's a person of integrity? That's the person I can go to for guidance, for direction. Then I had to look in the mirror. I said, no, you're not. You've got to change your life. And I had to pray before I got up here and taught this lesson. I've got to change my life to be more like Christ, to be more like Job, to be a person of integrity wherever I go in my life, so that people can look at me like they looked at Job, like that I've looked at others, and say, that's a person I can go to. That's a person I can trust. I think each one of us needs to examine our lives and look at it the same way. Are we a person of integrity? Okay, number one, integrity comes from knowing God. Two, from fearing God. Number three, and the last one, integrity comes from living for God. from living for God. And Job 2:3 here says, the Bible says, and he escheweth evil. Escheweth basically means to remove one's feet from. In other words, if you're coming in contact with evil stuff over here, you need to get away from it. Get away from it, flee from it, run from it, whatever you have to do to get away from that evilness, that sin, whatever it is. And sometimes we catch ourselves in the middle of this stuff before we even realize it's going on. And I think the reason why is because we have gotten so hard-hearted to the point where we don't pay attention to it, because it's so much in front of us. Everywhere we go in life, we go down to the store, we see so many things, so many wickedness things, people that are perverse in all their ways, and it becomes almost seared in our conscience to the point we're so used to it that we don't pay attention to it. And before you know it, we're right in the middle of it, having a conversation with them, and it's not about trying to win them to Christ. And I see myself sometimes at work in different places, and I see the stuff going on, and I hear it going on, and I've tuned it out because I've gotten so used to it. It's sad. I mean, as much tonight, so I'm preaching to myself, because as I was studying this, I was like, this hits home. Because, and I got some of the ideas from a book of different preachers, and I was reading it, and the Lord just would not allow me to go completely the way that lesson went. I got some of the highlights out of it, but the Lord just kept weighing on my heart. Roger, you've got to learn this. This is a lesson you need. And he just kept taking me from verse to verse because I needed it. We need to be a person to run and flee from the evilness around here. We need to have a desire to be with God and turn away from the things of this world. I'm with Lou every chance and every opportunity I get. Again, that's my wife. You know why? It's not because I have to, because she's my wife. It's because I love her and I want to be with her. Every opportunity I get. We've had this thing for over many years, well, ever since we've been married, 34 plus years, that we've had, and we've had it here, there's nothing wrong with it, for people that wants to do it, a women's retreat. They'll go off somewhere overnight or go wherever, a men's retreat. We never would do it. You know why? We didn't want to be apart. We're apart when I go to work. We're apart when things happen around the house or church sometimes. We're apart. I don't want that. I want to be with her because of love, because I love her. We need to have the same thing for God. We need to have that love, that desire to always want to be with him, to want to be in his word, to study his word. Most of the time when we look at Christians now, I wonder if they even like him, let alone love him and want to be with him, because it's just so lackadaisical. It's just a thing. It's just part of our lives. It becomes so mundane. It's a habit. We don't need to allow it to be a habit. I don't need to just allow my relationship with my wife just to be a habit or something I need to do to make her happy. Happy wife, happy life? No. I need to do it because I love her and I want to be with her. Same thing with God. We don't need to just come to church just to be coming to church and fellowship with one another. We need to come to church to study the Word of God, to love God, to show our love for Him, and want to learn more about Him. I want to learn more about my wife. We've been together 34 years. I know her real well. There's things I don't know about her that I want to know more. Because life changes. We change. Sometimes not for the better, but we change. Sometimes we get older, hair falls out, whatever. But there's so much more to life with God than what we do. We need to constantly be in God's Word and studying it. Again, it's just, I can't explain it the way I want to. But if we know and fear God, we will be a people or a nation with integrity. And we will want to do right because we love Him and because we know Him and we want to please Him. If we will let our love for God guide us and not the cares of this world guiding us, we will have a life of integrity. We will be who God wants us to be. A good charactered person. A good reputation person. I said the title of my message was, Does Character Count? Character is a good word. Character is good. But character is used so many different ways. There's a character in a movie. You've heard us say, well, that's a character. That's a wild character. That's whatever. That's why I like the word integrity. Even though they mean similar the same thing. But if I go to Brother Terry and I say, Miss Angie is a good charactered person. He said, well, that's nice. But if I go and say, Miss Angie is a person of integrity, an honest person, that means a little different to me. She is a person that you can go to and count on. Transparent. She's not trying to hide anything. A person of integrity is, again, what you see is what you get. But not only that, it's a person that you can go to and say, I want to be like him. Again, we need to be a person in our community that should be looked up to because we have a higher standard in our life. We have integrity in our life. We have love in our life. And again, it's sad to say, but as you go around and you look at people, and most of you know, I worked at the school system, Fayette County Schools. The school systems, in my opinion, are about some of the lowest down characters. And it's sad. They're not being taught right from the school system, sometimes from the parents. It's not being passed down. And what is being passed down sometimes is being ignored because they're not the salt of the earth. They're allowing all these other things to come in and dilute and pollute and weaken who we should be. Like I said about my dad, that workness. I think sometimes we allow even the things in our life, things that's become, put it this way, even my dad's dad, it's my mom's dad. He's kind of tall man. Wasn't real muscular, real built. But he could take a 20-pound sledgehammer, grab it by the end, and reach it back and touch his nose. But it's because he's used to hard work. We've gotten weaker today. Again, like I said, not just physically, but a lot of times it's because everything's computer controls. This is where our strength is today. Because we've allowed things like that to control us. This is where our strength needs to be. We need to allow this to control us. We need to allow the love of God to control us. To show us what integrity is. So that we can be a person of integrity. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, thank you so much, Lord, for teaching me this lesson. Father, please just help me to be a better person, to be a person of integrity, a person of honesty and truth, a person of transparency, Lord. Not trying to hide anything, but Lord, but because you see all, you know all. And Father, I pray that each one of us tonight can look into our hearts and see, Lord, where we need improvements. And Father, I pray that you'll be with each one of us tonight, Lord, as we go out. And I pray, Father, that you'll just help us. And Father, I'm sorry, Lord, if I've gotten in the way. But Lord, I just pray that you've spoken the way that you know is best and how you know is best, Father. And I thank you that you've allowed me to be a vessel tonight, Lord, just to share what was laid upon my heart. And Father, I just pray that if there's someone here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that tonight they'll get that settled before they leave here. Father, please just lead us again and guide us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can stand, and Brother Derek will lead us tonight.